VOA News, I'm Tommy McNeil. Hurricane Dorian, one of the most powerful Atlantic storms ever recorded, is hovering over the Bahamas, increasing fears of what will happen when it nears the Florida coast. Reuters' Conway G. Gittens has details.
The first death recorded from the storm, a boy drowned in northern Bahamas, according to the Bahamas Press. And the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies estimated that as many as 13,000 homes have already been destroyed or severely damaged. More damage and flooding is expected as the catastrophic storm moves at just 1 mile per hour. National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham.
It's just incredibly dangerous. And the other part of this, some of the rainfall could be 30 inches in this area, plus at the same time, the storm surge. 18 foot, even up to 23 foot in this area. So just a very dangerous situation for the Bahamas.
And some of that damage is headed for parts of Florida. The state is not expected to take a direct hit, but the outer bands of Dorian's ferocious wind and rain still can cause damage.
That's Reuters' Conway Gittens. The Taliban claimed responsibility for an explosion in Kabul late Monday, just hours after a U.S. negotiator shared with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani key details of a deal that would see thousands of American troops leaving Afghanistan. The blast in the Green Village compound, which houses international organizations and guest houses, killed at least 5 people and wounded about 50 others. The toll was expected to rise because of a number of homes that were destroyed. Earlier, U.S. officials said that they had reached a draft framework agreement with the Taliban that will require American troops to vacate 5 military bases in Afghanistan. This would occur within 135 days of the signing of the document. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Iraq on Monday suspended the operations of U.S.-funded Al Hura television after it broadcast a report alleging corruption in the country's Sunni and Shiite religious institutions. The 12-minute documentary aired Saturday, claiming that the religious authorities were missing state funds and administering religious sites and real estate. Thousands of Hong Kong students boycotted the first day of class Monday to participate in a citywide strike following violent demonstrations. Reuters' Joe Davies.
This was a peaceful protest against the now-suspended extradition bill, an altogether different kind from the violent scenes over the weekend and many times before. They want greater democracy for the former British colony, which returned to China 22 years ago under a one-country, two-systems formula. But children and students here, much like their elders, fear those freedoms are being slowly eroded by Communist Party rulers in Beijing, a charge China denies.
We don't want our children to live under a society that is really unfair, injustice, and I think that this is the minimum that we can do.
An audio recording has revealed Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam admitting she caused unforgivable havoc by igniting the political crisis engulfing the city right now, and would quit if she had a choice.
That's Reuters' Joe Davies reporting. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson threatened Monday to expel any Conservative Party rebels if they try to block his push for a no-deal exit next month from the European Union.
Speaking over the sound of protesters shouting, "Stop the coup," Johnson said that such a delay would chop the legs out from under the UK's negotiating position.
Let's let our negotiators get on with their work without that sword of Damocles over their necks.
A senior government source said on Monday that Johnson will move to call an election on October the 14th if he's defeated in Parliament.
We need a general election.
Opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn certainly wants one.
An election is the democratic way forward. To give the people a choice between the two very different directions of our country.
But there are suggestions that the veteran socialist could be playing into Johnson's hands.
That's Reuters' David Doyle. The U.S. Coast Guard says at least 8 people are dead, 26 others missing and fear dead, after fire erupted aboard a dive boat off the coast of Southern California. Coast Guard officials said 5 crew members were rescued after the fire broke out on the 20-meter commercial dive boat called Conception, which was anchored near Santa Cruz Island off the coast of Santa Barbara. They said that they continue searching for other passengers who have not been accounted for. Officials say the missing passengers were sleeping below the deck when the fire broke out before dawn Monday. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Bate in Washington. Today is Tuesday, September the 3rd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. South Africa comes under criticism for Monday's wave of xenophobic attacks.
The economic freedom fighters have long issued statement after statement over several years on the issue of xenophobia, and in particular, the killing of Africans by Africans.
Godrej Gardie is the General Secretary of South Africa's opposition economic freedom fighters. Burkina Faso sentences two army generals for their role in the 2015 attempted coup d'etat. Critics say Liberia's new telecommunication fee is intended to silence social media users. And Zimbabwe's ruling ZANU-PF party will this Thursday hold a solidarity rally against Western sanctions.
It will be a national event where the president will preside over issues that have taken place following the summit in Jerusalem.
Albert Umpofu is a ZANU-PF official, and Facebook is targeting fake news in local African languages. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Opposition Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF, Party of South Africa, has condemned what it says are despicable attacks on African immigrants by the country's youth. The party's reaction came after South African police Monday arrested dozens of people suspected of attacking foreigners from other African countries, looting their shops and burning vehicles and buildings. Godrej Gardie, General Secretary of the EFF, tells viewers Peter Clotty there should be an investigation into the attacks, followed by an appropriate punishment for those found to be responsible.
The economic freedom fighters have long issued statement after statement over several years on the issue of xenophobia, and in particular, the killing of Africans by Africans, because Africa was a borderless continent. The borders were imposed to us by the imperialists and colonialists, and we shall continue to condemn such conduct by the communities against our fellow brothers and sisters from the other part of Africa.
Gary, some people are saying, although some dozens of people have been arrested, the government appeared not to do enough. What is the EFF's position to this?
The economic freedom fighters is not in government, does not control any resources, does not have authority and control over the security services of the country. We call upon the government to ensure that it brings in the security forces an intelligence-driven approach to this conflict that we see happening in the country.
What do you say to critics who say that what is happening now makes South Africa look bad in the eyes of the rest of Africa, particularly when they said they helped, other African countries helped in the fight against apartheid in South Africa with the solidarity and support South Africa got? This is not supposed to be happening, they said.
It's not only about South Africa. Any other African country wherein fellow Africans are being ill-treated by their fellow Africans of that particular country, we should condemn it, and we should act against it. And we are confident that the government and the security services of the country are doing something to deal with this scourge.
So far, are you pleased with the response of the government to some of these attacks? Because this is not the first time it's happening. It's happened several times. Is the EFF pleased with the way the government or subsequent governments have handled this so far?
The government could have done much better, and it could do much better, because all what is needed is an intelligence-driven security services to deal with this issue of attacks of Africans against other Africans. We wish the government could do more.
What is the message of the EFF to those who are being attacked, as well as those who are the masterminds behind these attacks?
Those who are masterminds behind the attacks, we can assure them that there is no hole. The security services will not sniff them out, and they will be found, and they shall pay the price. To the victims of this violence, we share our pain with you, and hopefully our security services will protect them with their assets and their lives.
Godish Gadi is the General Secretary of the Opposition Economic Freedom Fighters Party of South Africa. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotty from Johannesburg. Zimbabwe's ruling ZANU-PF party says it will hold a nationwide solidarity rally in the capital Harare this Thursday to protest Western sanctions on certain Zimbabwe individuals and companies. Albert Mpofu, ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration, says President Emmerson Mnangagwa will address the rally, which purpose, he said, is to reinforce the unanimous call by leaders of the Southern African Development Community, SADC, for lifting the sanctions. The government had been preventing Opposition Movement for Democratic Change, MDC, rallies from taking place because it says the rallies have been violent. Mpofu tells reporter Jonga Kandimiri of VOA Zimbabwe Service that the ZANU-PF rally would be peaceful.
It's a solidarity rally which the party has organized, and that it will be a national event where the president will preside over issues that have taken place following the summit in Jerusalem, where Zimbabwe was clearly not supported by the heads of state on the issue of illegal sanctions against it by the European Union and the United States of America. So this is really to show recognition to that decision, which was taken in Jerusalem last week on the sanctions.
The West, Dr. Mpofu, is adamant that for sanctions to be removed, Zimbabwe has to respect human rights first. Why is your government not just doing that and then the sanctions are removed?
No, we are doing that. You know, you find most of the issues that are being tackled by, you know, our detractors have to do with the activities by them. I mean, how do you continuously call for stairways, demonstrations, and expect the security forces to fold their hands and do nothing about it? The opposition, especially the main opposition, has never bothered to sit down and engage, not the ruling party. They have always, you know, stage managed issues and refused to cooperate with the president. Our president has openly called for dialogue, and that request has been spurned by the main opposition. Yet they are the ones who are making the most noise in terms of engagement. So how do they want us to administer our affairs if they cannot talk with us as Zimbabweans? They seem to be appealing to foreign interests as opposed to local interests.
But do you see these countries recognizing SADC's stance to have sanctions removed without you as ZANU-PF and the government engaging those Western countries first?
But that's what I'm saying. We have our foreign affairs ministry visiting most of these countries, trying to explain what the country is doing. But in doing so, there has to be peace in the country. There has to be understanding among the Zimbabweans as to issues to do with national concerns of our people. But, you know, each time there is a step forward, you have to contend with threats of strikes, threats of demonstrations, threats of making the country ungovernable. That seems to be the project of the opposition, when, in fact, the country, the president, and the ZANU-PF has said, no, look, let's engage as Zimbabweans, let's talk to each other, let's develop the country as Zimbabweans.
Dr. Mpofu, we saw the police banning MDC rallies across the country for fear of them turning violent. Has ZANU-PF got a clearance from the police for this rally?
No, our rally is going to be a peaceful rally, always. ZANU-PF is never known for its violent rallies.
Albert Mpofu is the Secretary of Administration for ZANU-PF, Zimbabwe's ruling ZANU-PF party. He spoke with Jonga Kandimiri of VOA Zimbabwe Service. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Tuesday, September the 3rd. Daybreak Africa time, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. At least 91 million people in Africa fall ill each year from eating contaminated food, according to World Health Organization representative Rudy Eggers. He says this high number is due to the failure of countries to meet the required standards. As Maureen Ojiambo reports from Nairobi, Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto also says unsafe food threatens the lives of Kenyans.
Speaking during the opening ceremony of the 23rd session of Food and Agriculture Organization, World Health Organization Codex Coordination Committee for Africa, the WHO representative Rudy Eja said that a lot of money is being used to treat people diagnosed with diseases that are food contamination related. Eja says countries should adhere to Codex standards to save its people from contaminated food.
WHO estimates that 91 million people of the African region fall ill from consuming contaminated food every year, and 137,000 die as a result. The economic costs are staggering. We estimate that $95 billion are lost in productivity, and $15 billion are spent in related medical expenses each year.
The one-week conference brings together governments, national standards bodies, public and private sector players, farmers, producers, and other policy makers to deliberate strategies to safeguard consumers' health and fair practices in the food trade in Africa and globally. Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto said that the unsafe food threatens lives of millions of Kenyans yearly, and that there is need to invest on new mechanism to curb the ailing situation in food industry.
Unsafe food threatens thousands of lives every year. It is necessary to invest in greater capacity to manage food safety through regulation, laboratories, surveillance and monitoring, especially by leveraging new technologies and innovation. I submit here that Codex standards must remain as pillars of food safety in order for us to steer our economies.
On the other hand, Codex Commission Chairperson Steve Wayne said the Commission has embarked on measures to combat food contamination in Africa and around the globe through applying new mechanisms to approach the situation. Kenya's Agriculture Minister Mwangi Kiunjuri says that agriculture is a major source of income in most African countries, with most produce accounting for the highest number of total exports.
The agriculture sector in Africa is a major source of income for a majority of its people, with agriculture produce, that is beef, tea, coffee, horticulture, and sugar, accounting for nearly two-thirds of the total exports.
The Codex Alimentarius Commission is the joint food standard program of the food, charged with the mandate of developing food and feed international codex standards for safeguarding the health of consumers and ensuring fair trade practices in food. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
A Burkina Faso lawyer says the army generals jailed for masterminding the 2015 attempted overthrow of the interim government will have 15 days to appeal the decision of the military tribunal. Baptiste Banau's comments came after a military court jailed General Gilbert Diendere and General Gibril Bassolet for their roles in the attempted overthrow of the country's transitional government. Local media reports say General Diendere was jailed for 20 years for murder and harming state security, while General Bassolet was sentenced to 10 years after being convicted for treason. Baptiste Banau spoke with VOA's Peter Clotty from the Burkina Faso capital, Ouagadougou.
The commentary we can do is that now it's finished. One step is finished about this judgment because the process takes many, many months. And the fact to give a judgment today is a good thing because even the general and the person who are accused on this fact, every person can know what is his situation today. So, about the judgment, we cannot say if the person who was condemned or acquitted agree or not with this judgment. We cannot know if the victims agree with this judgment, but the law gives 15 days to everybody to say if he is agree with the judgment or not. So, we are waiting to know if a procurer, if the person who was condemned, or if the victims are all okay with this judgment.
Bati, so does that mean that the military court has 15 days when a judgment is passed for the accused to appeal? Is that the same thing when it comes to the civilian cases as well?
Yes, it is the same rule of 15 days for everybody.
Since the rule was passed, what are your expectations? What is next, apart from the appeal? What is next?
I think that those who think that the condemnation is very difficult for them, it's sure that we are going to do appeal. But those who think that the condemnation is acceptable because they can go out in 1 year on the, or 2 years, I think that we are not going to do appeal.
Some people are saying to me that the ruling is good since the coup is treasonous as seen by the constitution of Burkina Faso, and that it will clean up the system to ensure democracy progresses in Burkina Faso. What do you think about it?
Yes, I think that it is a good thing when we have a judgment today. That's clear for me. So who think that the rule was contrary to the constitution of Burkina Faso, I think that we have a possibility to go in front of the constitutional court who can give who are right or who is wrong. So I cannot say if the argument is serious or not.
I understand the two army generals were former allies and supporters of former President Blaise Compaoré. Some people are saying he should be extradited to Burkina Faso to face judgment as well. What do you think about that?
Yes, I think that the thing law wants that every person who is accused about something has to answer in front of him. So if today somebody wants Blaise Compaoré to go back in Burkina Faso, it is normal. But if he can, and there are something that you have to explain to justice, it is very legal and very normal for him to answer about it.
Baptiste Banao is a Burkina Faso lawyer. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotty from the capital, Ouagadougou. The Liberian government has levied a new telecommunication fee that some say is intended to silence social media users. The new regulation by the Liberia Telecommunication Authority restricts GSM providers from awarding data and voice packages below the government price. As Moses Gazier will report from Monrovia, the new regulation came into effect Sunday, September 1st.
The Liberia Telecommunication Authority said in a statement that the purpose of the regulation was to compensate for the lack of a mechanism to ensure market stability. According to the LTA, mobile network operators are being forced into selling packages below market price to undo each other with offers below market cost, leading to market instability. Currently, there are two mobile network providers in Liberia, Orange and Lone Star Cell MTN. The two companies have already sent SMS messages to their subscribers notifying them about the new regulation and promising to obey the government's order. Christoph Reeves is the head of corporate communication for Lone Star Cell MTN.
As a company operating in Liberia and regulated by the Liberia Telecommunications Authority, we have a duty to comply by their directive and their order regarding the price floor for mobile voice and data products here in Liberia.
The government has set the cost of voice packages at a minimum price of United States dollar 1.56 cents per minute, while data packages will cost a full price of United States dollars 2.18 cents per megabyte. For over 5 years, Liberians have enjoyed exciting offers from the mobile companies, ranging from unlimited voice package for $1 for 3 days and some exclusive data package promotion. The government says these offers have resulted to diminishing revenue due to rift among providers, which the government says hinder innovation, stalls infrastructural development nationwide, and reduces the quality of service, including drop calls as network loads increase. Lone Star Cell MTN corporate communication head Crystal Reeves says the new price flow will afford providers opportunity to expand their network and provide better services for the population.
We can take all the profit that we stand to make and invest that back into our network. We're going to be looking at expanding our network, making sure that we expand our coverage for our customers, making sure that people can enjoy high quality, fastest data speeds. Any amount that the customer puts onto their phone, whatever the package that they select, they get five times the value.
Reactions to the new LTA regulations are mixed, with some welcoming the decision while others disagreeing.
My name is Charles Masale Jr. I think it's very good. It's timely. In fact, this is long overdue. We see that telecommunication right now drive revenue for every country around the world.
My name is Timothy Paulus. There are 3 days promotion, 3 calls and data packages have been taken away. And it's going to impact a lot of very low income people who do not have any source of income.
The new regulation comes into effect at a time that the Liberian economy is experiencing a slump with depreciating local currency. Analysts say the new measure will only increase the hardship Liberians are already experiencing or even make communication more difficult. For VOA News, this is Moses Gazelle reporting from Monrovia, Liberia.
Facebook is going after fake news in local languages throughout Africa. The new initiative will provide support for languages from Nigeria, Senegal, Kenya, and South Africa. David Ajikobo, spokesperson for Africa Check in Nigeria, tells Ricky Stryak that the new initiative will go after fake news in Yoruba, Igbo, and Hausa.
There's a lot of, tons of misinformation and disinformation being spread in local languages. And for us in Nigeria, we realized that, okay, we cannot cover all of the languages. We realized that, okay, so why can't we be strategic by specifically targeting the 3 mostly spoken languages in Nigeria?
Why is it important to do it in local languages and not just, you know, English or French or, you know, the colonial languages?
So the first reason would be that English is colonial language, and people speak English in Nigeria, and we fact check, and you know, people communicate in English in Nigeria, but there are tons of people, there are millions of people who still communicate more in local languages. I mean, I like to think about it, about what language you thinking. I mean, for most Nigerians probably thinking their local languages.
You fact check articles that are shared on Facebook. Are you able to fact check articles that are shared via WhatsApp or other platforms? If you're not able to do that, how important would it be to actually be able to do that?
Okay, at the moment, like I mentioned before, we are able to fact check articles that have been reported on Facebook or that we see that might potentially be, oh, so we can actually enqueue certain articles that we have seen by ourselves that this is false or some, you know, that's one. Just recently, Facebook has extended the third-party fact-checking project to Instagram. So potentially in coming weeks or in a month or so, we'll be able to fact check things that are posted on Instagram. But for WhatsApp, at the moment, we can't fact check things that are shared on WhatsApp, but because you understand the nature of WhatsApp, it's a closed user network, the encryption and things like that. But what we've done to go around it, one of the innovative things we've done is to say, look, we can fact check WhatsApp, but it doesn't mean that we are completely blindsided by what is written on WhatsApp. So we tell people, you know, we've done a lot of awareness to say, look, if you send something on WhatsApp, if somebody has reported something or somebody has forwarded something to you that you're not sure, that you think this could potentially misleading or, you know, harmful, whatever it is, you could, you know, send it to us on our WhatsApp line. So as I speak to you now, we have thousands of contacts on our WhatsApp line, things that they potentially see. We fact check and push it out to people via podcast messages, WhatsApp stories, you know, on our WhatsApp line. So the idea is that to cultivate as many as possible contacts via WhatsApp to help us with surveillance. If people are seeing things, in fact, as I speak to you now, the Nigeria WhatsApp line has been added to about 80 different Facebook groups.
That was David Ajekobi, a spokesperson for Africa Check. He was speaking to Ricky Stryker from Lagos, Nigeria. Briefly, before we leave you, summary of Africa news. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres encouraged donors to honor their pledges to fight Ebola as he visited Congo to offer support in fighting the outbreak. Guterres told reporters in Kinshasa Monday that the United Nations has received only 15% of what it needs to fight the Ebola epidemic. And that is it for this Tuesday, September the 3rd edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Barton in Washington, wishing you in Africa a very, very good day.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, education has the power to transform the lives of people worldwide, especially in Africa. But often, educational practices are outdated. Rethinking education on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Thank you.